We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Offensive coordinator Jared Parker discusses Saturday's game against Baylor. That's coming up right after this.
While our team battles on the gridiron, there's another team nearby helping kids tackle the toughest battles of their lives. I'm Mountaineer football coach Neil Brown. WVU Medicine Children's provides specialized care for mothers, babies, and children with life-threatening conditions. Now we're building a bigger, better WVU Medicine Children's to help even more families in need in the Mountain State and the region. Please join our building campaign. Our kids and future Mountaineers depend on it.
I wanted to ask Neil this and then get an opportunity, and I don't know how much you know about what Baylor did last year. I know they did some really unique things when Matt Rhule was there. Is there any remnants of that left for what you've seen from the Kansas game? Because I know that looking at them, they were very inexperienced up front, but they have a lot of experience in the back end and in the corner, and their linebackers obviously very active. What do you see from what they did against Kansas?
Yeah, I think, to be fair, not being here last year, so it's hard for me to pull on some of it, but I did get some experience in being at Duke 2 years prior and playing against Coach Rhule the 2 years I was there. So I think just more than anything, you do see, as if anything, when you're building good culture like they've built at Baylor through Coach Rhule and now through Coach Aranda, you get a chance to see that culture – has remained pretty good by seeing one game, John. I think just seeing how hard they play, they line up, they're sound, and kids know what to do, and they play fast and play hard. So what better compliment to a football team to see that, and especially what we see on their defensive tape. So that involves good culture and good scheme, and you can see that coming through still.
What do you see from the three young guys up front? I guess all three of them made their first career starts.
Yeah, you certainly, first off, by body type and just being able to just turn on the film when you first get to look Sunday and see those guys, you see personnel that it's certainly good to look at. Those guys look good, and you can tell they're fitting things and playing fast, and in their youth, they're embracing being on the football field. So I think that's the two things that probably show up, just a culture of playing hard and having very good-looking bodies and which always helps.
Next question from Cody Nesper.
Hey, Jared. So I wanted to ask you about Bryce Ford Wheaton, because he's certainly had his chances at big plays so far, but he hasn't really connected on any. And I was just, from your perspective, is it promising that he's getting those chances, or is it more frustrating that they're not connecting?
Oh, always promising to be getting chances. You know, I think, and that's not a just an answer. It's reality. I think the strides that he's made that maybe yet has not been seen to the public, I would say, wouldn't be fair to see where he's at. He's playing at a really high level. So in order to get to that point where we make some plays down the field and he really gets to celebrate the end result, I guess I would say, Cody, you have to get to that point and grow and know why you're getting in an opportunity to make those plays. So now the next step is for him to finish, you know. So he's really put himself in a position to clear man coverage and become highly invested in getting better. So now instead of being totally honed in on just results, which can be a very emotional roller coaster, he's now just involved in getting better. So I think you're going to see him continue to ascend. And with that, he'll make more and more plays down the field that are really going to help us become more explosive.
Okay, Ryan, we'll go to you.
Hey, Jared, I was going to have you estimate for me, if you can, just, you know, what percentage of the play calling on Saturday came in RPO looks? How did you assess Jarrett's decision-making in those situations and kind of the team's overall execution of those plays on Saturday?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, I think you saw a lot of run fits and stuff and things that we've certainly improved on and really invested a lot of time in as a staff, which paid off in our ability to run the football in a lot of cases. And with that, you saw a bulk of, you know, of I think, forgive me for the exact number in passing in the first half, but certainly a bulk of those were in RPO throws. Daigie's decision-making was really good. Now, with that becomes, you know, the decision-making's pretty good, but when you miss key opportunities as an offense in a game like that that's heavily, heavily conflicted with man and zero coverage and all those things, the one miss or the one drop or the one misread that we may have had collectively kind of add up to three or four things. But I think we all seen on film that if one of those or two of those, if would have turned into a different result that we would all been happier about. And that just is all of us owning it, from how we make a decision at quarterback to his accuracy. And then, of course, us being able to make plays and finish with the ball in our hand at the receiver position. So they're all on a string and tied together. That's a beautiful thing of this sport. But a higher percentage of, if you made me guess right now, would be 80% of those for the particular game plan we had were numbers-based and RPO-based. And for the most part, we hit on a good amount of those. And, of course, the misses get multiplied when they're misses.
So, Jared, your assessment of Letty Brown, and obviously you didn't see him live last year, but your assessment in watching that film to how he's progressed from last year to this year.
Absolutely. So I think that my assessment and our assessment as a staff would be that Letty has now put himself in a position, like, how are great backs judged? You know, I mean, great backs are judged by the four-yard run, in my opinion, more so than the big one, and then their ability to get yards after contact. So for that, I think Letty has put himself in a position to become a really good back and grow as he changes practice habits and continues to get better. But he's getting yards after contact. His eyes are getting better and better about where he wants to put the football. And I think it's really, really helped him put himself in a position to be able to get the ball vertical when it's time to. And now he started to develop a mentality of getting it vertical and making people miss and dismissing defenders, which has allowed him to really play at a high level in these first 2 weeks, and we'll need him to continue to do that to get where we want to go running the football.
No, I was up next. Let me squeeze two more in here for you, Coach. Number one, what jumps out at you with Bernard? He's an active linebacker. I mean, he had 3.5 TFLs. And then the second one is there a consideration of maybe helping out those outside your young tackles with maybe some extra help there on the outside to help them a little bit?
Good question. So first one, of course, he pops on film. He does everything you want a second-level player to do. That's why he's a preseason ranked the where he is, and he's a great player. Probably the biggest, again, I think one of the bigger compliments you can give any player is, besides him just having sheer talent, is his motor and how hard he plays and how active he is pops off on the film as soon as you turn it on. So that is the biggest thing you see with him. He's active. He's fast-paced, and he plays hard, and then he's got skills. And then to your second question, help me again.
Sorry.
No,
your
okay.
Two tackles, young guys.
Yeah,
Consideration of helping them out a little bit pass protection?
Sure. So anytime that you go into any game, you know, being able to protect the football and protect the passer are two big conversations. So as we go through and we find ways to reduce our sack numbers and stay away from negative loss and all those things, we have to have those conversations. So our protection plan will be crucial this week and any week to make sure we do. I know that's vague and probably mostly on purpose, but I will say, yes, we've got to have a good plan to protect him.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Two quick ones, Jared. First, to follow up on that answer, I know you're not going to give away any special things, but is the real crux of that problem, say, in pass protection in, hey, I want to spread the field to create opportunities and open up some of those routes that you got versus providing that extra coverage? I mean, is that the toughest decision? And then the second thing, as you grade your receivers, I know you count drops. Do you also count contested catches, ones you think they should have? And what's an acceptable level for where you say, yeah, we're going to keep throwing that because we're getting this many or this percentage of contested catches?
Yeah, it's all good, great questions and good points. Here's what I think. You know, here's my belief, that it's called a 50-50 ball for a reason. So we've got to put him in position to where those guys do 50% or better. If you have a day where you're 70-30, well, so be it. Awesome, you know. But we've got to get our guys in percentage where they can compete for contested catches at 50% or better. And I think the other stat that's worth bringing up that we really push our guys on and grading them is we've got to beat man coverage at 80% or better. And so it goes back to an earlier question. If you can win at 80% or more against man coverage across the board, you've put yourself in a position to win, and then you got to complete it, catch it, and finish it. But you can't do those things until you win. So we really try to talk about competing for contested catches and making those at half or better, and then beating man coverage at 80% or better, and then you put yourself in a position to have success.
Last three questions in the queue here. Go ahead, Sean Manning.
Hey, Jared, I'm going to keep piggybacking on these offensive line questions, but at tackle, just overall thoughts on Junior in his first game, and then on the right side with John and Bryson, how do you think they played being two interior guys last year that have now bounced outside?
Yeah, so both guys, of course, the biggest piece will be is knowing that we're in a developmental program and it's a developmental game we coach. So those guys will continue to grow, develop, and get better and own where we're at. Did we play good enough at those spots at times? We didn't, you know, nor did we at every position. So we'll just continue to build these guys. But what we want to make sure that you do is you answer questions about where we're at is those guys will be told and built with confidence and understand that there's a process to becoming great as opposed to just thinking it's one game that defines it. But of course, yeah, we got to assess where we're at as coaches and where we failed. We got to assess where we were at the tackle position and up front. And we struggled in some areas that we know we'll continue to gain all the ways we can to help fix it. And we can do that with personnel, technique, and all those things that are going to help us not only be better this week, but for the future of the program.
Next question is from Skylar Callahan.
Hey, Jared, it seemed like Oklahoma State was able to keep Sam James in check last week. Was it more so Sam just not being able to get open, or was it more so Williams playing the good defense that he did? And then also, I know it's a small sample size, but your thoughts on Reese Smith for the first two games?
Yes. So, you know what? It was a combination of both for Sam. I think he would say he struggled and struggled getting off press. He's a great player that he went against, and he struggled and had, honestly, that I fault myself. I don't think Sam would play that way again if we lined up again. I think that there was a lot of thought in some things he was doing to get off man press, and sometimes when you think too much, you don't just respond and let your body do what it's born to do. So we're going to give him a better plan, and nobody takes responsibility for that more than me. Sam James is still a very good football player and will play at a high level this year, and we'll give him a better plan to do so.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
Jared, kind of two, and they're not dissimilar for everything else, but Winston we always knew was fast, but it looked like he ran some excellent routes. I was wondering what you thought technically about that. And then the junction points that you mentioned last week when we were here, I'm hearing you talk about 50-50 and the 80 percentage too. Seemed inside better at the junction than the outside. Is that an accurate observation?
Yeah, it's an accurate observation, very accurate. So with Winston, I think you're spot on. That's a good eval. You know, I think he's now has a good top-end speed to him that allows him to separate, but now he's got a good plan. Some of that plan has now paid off for him in his start of the year, and we're certainly expecting more from him at even a higher level. So it's good to see him come together with a plan and use speed. So he really was good at the top end of it. The junction point was one at a better level inside for sure and at our X position. And so now we've collectively got on it to where we win the junction point even more so across the board. And when that percentage goes up, we'll really be happy with results.
The Mountaineers will battle the Bears at noon on Saturday. The game will be televised nationally on ESPN. The GoMart Mountaineer Tailgate Show will begin at 8:30 a.m. on stations throughout West Virginia and online via WVUSports.com and the popular mobile app WVU Game Day. Thanks for listening.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.